Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 483 of the JV Club with my guest, Cricket Lee. She, of course, is the voice of May in Avatar: The Last Airbender. I adore Cricket, and it's been so amazing getting to know her the last year, and I can't wait for you all to listen. I may have a couple more Boys of Summer trickle in a little late in the game, but wanted to leave that door open, and I just want to remind everyone that I will be at the Salt Lake Fan X the weekend of September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And happy September, everyone. I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
I love your avocado shirt.
I'm so glad. Thank you. It's a shirt that was made out of like this comedy podcast I did. That's like a space adventure.
Oh, I think
improv.
It's the Voyage to the Stars.
Yes,
yeah. Yes.
And we came up with the idea that this ship has so much going for it that it has an avocado deck, like an entire deck of the ship that's just dedicated to all things avocado.
So, my friend's baby is named Ava, and they have a Facebook page called The Adventures of Avocado.
Oh, yes, please. Right? I want to read that children's book
now. I know. Let's write it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, yes.
Where were you coming back from that you tested just to be safe? You did a con, yeah? Didn't you go?
Fine for the last 3 weeks. This was just me being at home. I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because when I got back, I have a band and we did a gig 3 days later. And I why did I fucking.
The singing.
Why?
You're
a musician. And it was a charity for cancer. And I was like, I just want to cancel this, but I can't. It's for cancer.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah, for sure. You can't cancel.
You can't. And so I just did it and we killed it. It was great, but I needed sleep. My voice was hoarse. It's already hoarse. I have to be like super careful to have it be clear. So then I just was fatigued. So I got tested, but they're like, it's just a cold. And I'm like, sweet.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great to have a cold anyway, but
no, it's better.
Anything that, that causes my voice to get worn out or my throat to be sore, I immediately, you know, fly into a panic, which is not healthy and totally unnecessary.
I do too. But then I'm like a psycho. And I'm like, I must sleep. I'm like, mommy, dearest. Like, don't come in.
Mommy needs her sleep now.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, and then the band guys are like, why don't you do salt water? I'm like, look, you don't know what you're actually talking about. Like, that's a lovely thing, but it dries the throat and that's not what I need.
It does dry the throat. Boys and bands. Boys. Come on. Well, I too am so glad we're doing this. And I know that there are some stuff about your youth that we covered on Braving the Elements, the Avatar podcast. That being said, I can't guarantee that the crossover will all be 100%. So I definitely want to cover, even if we're retreading, and also that was a million years ago, so probably
you're right.
It will be fresh as a daisy anyway. But one of the reasons that I just kind of fell in love with you from our first meeting was, you know, knowing your background, knowing that you come from performance, you continue to perform, you're still very connected to the Avatar community, but you also are a licensed therapist and have this sort of, what I perceive to be this just sort of general curiosity and interest in learning more and in understanding people better and in how to put that to use. And that's kindred spirits for me all day long. Like, I just love that
too.
And I admire it so much.
Yeah, and it's like always being hungry, right? Like, and so a few years ago, I got a little panicked because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 50 this year. But you know, you worry about 3 years ahead of time.
You start looking away. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm never satisfied. I must have a problem. I better go back to my own therapist. And then one day I was like, no, oh my God, nothing's wrong. Oh, I'm just always, I'm going to be 100 and be like, what else?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and I just like surrendered and bathed in that and was like, okay.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was lovely, but it came late in life because you're not socialized to be like that. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can be totally like just insanely ambitious.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was so wonderful. It was so free. And it doesn't mean I'm a B word or I'm a whatever. It doesn't mean any of that mischaracterization. Yeah. It just meant I like things. I'm hungry. I like different food and I like different food in life. And I want to learn and figure it out just like you do. So,
I love that. I love that. And two, I would love to hear your thoughts on like, you know, it's so, and maybe it doesn't matter because it's so kind of ingrained in our society at this point, but I always like, I've had moments in my life where I feel like I should be panicking about my age and I'm not, but then I sort of surpass that, but then maybe it hits me at a different time. Yeah. And then I am like, oh, was I repressing this? Like, oh, when I turned 30, I was like excited to be 30. There was no part. And then when I turned 40, like I was like, this feels no different than it did last year or 5 years ago. So why would I make a thing about it? But like lately I've almost been punishing myself for not having panicked about it. Does that make sense? And I can't tell. What is this?
Yes,
talk
to me. That's a very type A.
And I will send you a check.
Yeah, I'm very type A. I would do the same thing because we want to make sure because if you're hungry, right? And that means you want like lots of yummy things. So we want the meat, we want the marrow, we want the bone of life. So those people, and I am one who has anxiety. Okay. Yeah, that's my profile. Oh, I'm going to absolutely wonder if I did it right. So I'm going to be like 60 and be like, did I enjoy 34? I mean, I could have done more. When I was 19, I had six pack abs. I did nothing with them. What was I supposed to do? I don't know. Flaunt them. Like I do this too. Yeah. I second guess how I'm processing the journey. That's totally normal. That's just anxious brains. But then in the end, I'm like, well, I can't worry about it. It's done. And it's time for me to be thinking about what's next. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't really have regrets, but I definitely have second guess processing issues, which.
Yeah, I like that. I would like that. Cause it doesn't feel, and it almost feels it's not, regret is such a strong word. And I totally agree with you that it's, and it's also like, and if you're an anxious person and you're a person who has sort of internalized making your own self feel shame or guilt as, for example, like me as an only child or, you know, whatever it is that brings you to a place where you're harder on yourself. And most of us are, right? Most of us are.
Performers.
And most of us have hard. Yeah, performers. We have a hard time quieting those voices. Mm-hmm. That there's a sense of like, now I'm looking back wondering why I didn't panic about something. And it's almost like I'm punishing myself. Like, you didn't feel that then. And that's not okay because everyone else went through that. So you need to go ahead and go through it now because you got to feel it sometime because everybody has to feel it.
Which
instead of like, what
don't.
If we all lifted each other up out of that and no one gave a shit when they turned 50?
Yeah, exactly.
Would that number have meant something to you, or would you have just felt what you felt without putting a number on it?
Meant absolutely
like if we
nothing.
Weren't told to.
I mean, if we changed it, like I'm turning 50 in a month. So let's say I changed it and I was going to call it, I'm going to get an elbow. Like, okay, I'm getting my elbow.
Right.
I already have them, but like, okay, I'm getting a seahorse. Like, cool. Be like, wow, you've got seahorse years. You're awesome, man. You've been around for a long time. You've done a lot of stuff. You're rad. Yeah. Let's celebrate. That's it. Yeah. It wouldn't be you're old, you're crepey, you're fat, you're not approachable, you're not attractive, you're not this or that. It would have nothing to do with, well, really even aging. It would just be almost more accumulation, which I like. So it's like, I started this garden at like 18 and I made a lot of mistakes and pulled a lot of weeds. And but then now I've cultivated this garden and I get a seahorse or an elbow and that's my special garden. And it doesn't look like anyone else's as opposed to like getting older and like, we do get weaker physically, but we have to maintain that garden or that aquarium or whatever visual, right, people like. I think I would rather look at it as, I've accumulated years.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the garden analogy. And I also feel like, you know, that is, and for the most part, I do feel like, you know, I have a better relationship with myself and who I am and even getting older than I did 10 years ago. You know, right? And I wouldn't go back, right? So when we talk about regrets, it's like, would not go. Don't worry, everyone. Would not go backwards.
I tell
do not worry.
That.
You will not want to go back. You know.
They'll be like, but I'm turning 30. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be so much better. I can't wait for you.
Yeah. It's such a relief. But to feel like, you know, you do get weaker. It's easier for more stuff to go wrong. But also, the trade-off truly should be, and we should be able to celebrate it, like, feeling like more at home with who you are and feeling like you have a better sense of the world and that you and you figure out what matters and what doesn't matter. And to spend the time celebrating that rather than thinking about like whatever it is that you're losing, because then that really is. Then it's like youth is wasted on the young and old age is wasted on the elderly.
Like, great. So when are we happy? Oh, between 62 and 62 and a half. Like, yeah. And so it's true. I think we're gaining perspective, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
if you're not, and you will see these people that are growing along with you, and you're going to see them stunt, and you'll be right. like, huh. And they might be family, they might be lovers, they might be boyfriends, but you're going to be like, wow, that's really strange. You know, that person doesn't seem to be enjoying the accumulation of years or enjoying perspective. They're scared. There's fear. There's a lot of stuff they need to work through. But you will surpass them on your journey because you can't, I mean, you can keep a couple friends like that, but generally there's this like disconnect where one of you, and it isn't about money or fame or anything like that. It's not at all. But I think that's fascinating. And it's interesting to look at your female peers and be like, okay, yeah, how do we all use this like kind of language with each other so we can take stigma away from aging, whether you're an actress or a banker. Like, it matters no matter where you are.
Absolutely. Great. So, okay. So let's put Cricket in the place that she was a teenager. Was that one place? Were you moving around when you were, 13, 18 to 18 kind of age?
Yes.
Where were you? What was going on?
So 13. So we moved around a lot because I had a single parent, single mom. And so I remember 13, we were there for 1 year. So I was sixth grade. I was in 1 year in Michigan. And it was all the rage to be wearing parachute pants. I don't know if you know about this. Okay. So
definitely no parachute
I remember
pants.
Everything. I like the guy I liked, Mark. He had them in gray, red, and blue. And I was like, I don't understand how someone so awesome can have that much awesomeness. And I was like, I don't have any, but I will just listen to his rub against the floor when he does his snake dancing. So that's what I did. I was boy crazy. I was horrible in school. I couldn't focus on anything. I was just thinking about the parachute pants and like what was happening in the hall. And then, so 14, I was probably in eighth grade or might've been eighth grade, moved again. Ninth grade was high school. So it was like a lot of different schools, being the new kid and like having to acclimate. And I was always the clown. So it was easy.
Yeah.
I was like,
you
I
knew.
Can be funny. And like, people thought my name was ridiculous. It was absolutely, it is ridiculous and horrible.
I absolutely love your name. And I only know one other person with that name. And she is much more of someone our age named her daughter that, right? Because it's Busy Phillips' daughter.
Oh, right. I love the cheerleaders.
But like, for sure, we never, unless your parents were like out and out hippies.
Yeah.
I did not have friends who had like creative, beautiful names. But as an avid reader of Cricket magazine when I was little, and like loving those little bugs so much, they were so sensitive and had such big hearts. I would have loved to know you. And I also cannot imagine how many people would have teased me if my name were Cricket.
Thank
like
you.
When I think about who I went to school with, I'm like, it would be they found ways to make my name offensive.
How did they
so
meet
if that's
Janet?
Possible,
that sounds like the most,
you know.
Right. So I went and I loved Cricket and I read the magazine too. And I still have a copy of Cricket magazine and the little Cricket chatter pencils because I was obsessed with it too. So I thought that was cool, but it was really hellish to be the clown. I think if I had just been like the nerd kid, I could have just been like, all right, I'm a nerd, make fun of me. But because I was trying to be the clown, I had to like make it cool. Like I had to make Cricket be kind of cool. So I was a filthy, rotten, young, wild girl. I was just any like truck driving language. That was me. And in front of my mom, I would be like very together. But at school, I was like Demi Moore in St. Elmo's Fire a little bit.
That's great.
Like just a little wild. And funny enough, that's so not me. Like I'm such a dork at heart. But I felt like I had to put this persona, I'm cool. I know everything, which gets you in trouble as a kid because you get into situations.
It's so interesting, though, because that does seem like such a smart, like when you look back and especially having now a background in psychology, like the idea of finding out that, a way to ingratiate yourself quickly or even to not ingratiate yourself, but to seem like you're fine with it. Like it's kind of the perfect persona because we, even as actors, talk about how good it feels to become someone else and to be able to walk away from our own internal monologue and to feel emboldened. And people talk about when they put on their mascot uniforms or put on a mask, you know, the sense of protection, like it's armor. Mm-hmm. And so I love the idea that you were savvy enough to realize, like, okay, I've tried, like, maybe that was something that was evolving as you were moving around, like trying mm-hmm. on little bits and pieces that even, you know, unconsciously you're not aware of going on, but that you're crafting this armor. And the armor is, I'm going to be funny, I'm going to be wild, I'm going to win over my peers mm-hmm. because I'm not going to be, I'm sure not going to be a nerd.
No, I mean, I'd never be brave, but
I'm also going to be funny, which is like, you know, it's like, you're making fun of yourself. I'm sure part of it is like, you know what I mean? You're not trying to be like snooty. It's like all the combinations sort of really make sense to drop into a new environment and feel like you're going to have the most success the fastest, right?
That was it.
So smart.
That was it. And then my friends were all really good in school. So I just began to be like, oh, I'm going to have to like actually do the school thing at a certain age. Like I can't just keep like charming my teachers.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I mean, it was the 80s. I definitely had ADHD. Nobody talked about it for women. It was like, my mom.
I was going to say, how often do you even hear the story you're telling comes usually from boys? In my experience 100%. Of doing 500 of the episodes, you know what I mean? It's like, and I was very much like you, where I was kind of the clown and I identified with boys at the time in big ways because that was like behavior I understood. But I also knew I wasn't that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I felt gender wise, like my mom would say, don't make that face. It's not a pretty face. And I would be like, I would do more of it and be like, ah, like, and I did this voice for like a solid year. And I talked like that. And my mom, she was like, I'm going to kill. And I was like, get used to it. Like, I was just like a totally rebellious, annoying, charming and loving, but like really misguided ADHD kid who could have really utilized some therapy and maybe some medication to help me focus so I could get a good grade and be like, oh my gosh, my whole identity can be different. Like, oh, wow, I can, you know, so I did eventually be like panic a little, like, oh my gosh. But 13, I had braces. They were the clear kind, ceramic, because I was doing a chorus line.
Whoa, how this is getting very professional.
And I was like,
quickly.
Oh, mom, I have to have braces because because I can't sing and have silver. You know, I was like a total weirdo.
Yeah.
So we got the special braces and I did the chorus. I mean, I played like a 30-year-old. It's ridiculous. It was theater. But like, you know, and it was so uncool because I played the Asian character. Like, that's not okay. Right. But
do you feel like they were like, she looks enough? Like, she looks the most.
It's ridiculous.
Asian
I guess.
Of anyone.
They took two parts and gave me both. So I got to sing at the ballet.
I see.
And then I got to play Connie Wong. Always Wong, never right. It's so awful. And I am sorry. But so I got the braces and then I went, I hated them, but you know, I did my best and I was always performing. I just, because I wasn't good in school, it left me like zero space to be anything but a performer. And when I look back, I'm so sad for my little self because I'm like, oh honey, I wish, and that's okay. If I still wanted to go be an actor and I probably would have, but I just wanted the option to like open up a government book and maybe read a little, write notes and maybe retain a little bit. So where I could maybe get a C or a D plus instead of Fs, maybe be like, wow, what if I want to be a lawyer? Like it just, my whole identity could not attach to that.
Yeah.
And so looking back, it makes me sad, but I wasn't sad at all at the time. I loved it.
Right.
I was performing, I was singing, I was dancing. I took tap class, jazz class, Hawaiian class. I mean, I was like, guitar. I mean, I was in a band. I was just a total, you know, my mom just thought, wow, she's got a lot of energy.
Well, I mean, it's at least you could say that something was being born out of that energy and the fact that you were diversifying as a performer and weren't just like, I sing in a chorus and that is what I do.
Right.
And I will everything, you know, and sort of become obsessive about it, for lack of a better word. But so from freshman year, say, to senior year, were you settled in?
I didn't.
Were you even moving within those years?
So I went to my high school for 2 years, terribly. I mean,
and this is Michigan?
Yeah. I was like, just bad. I mean, I got an A in English and like D's and everything. And I would put jokes. I have my tests from like physics and I would like write jokes in there like, "What's this?" And I'd be like, "A hippopotamus's ass." Like I was a total clown because I really didn't know. I knew my brain wouldn't retain, but I didn't know why. And I didn't even really know what ADHD was. I thought it was for like hyper boys. I just didn't. And my girlfriends were such good students. They were like, "You're so smart." And I was like, "Why are you lying?" And they were like, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, if I am, why can't I do what you're doing? I don't, you know," and they didn't know what to say. And so by 16, I knew by 15 I wanted to leave Michigan. But I was like, "How am I going to do this? I mean, I have a single parent. My dad isn't really in my picture at that time. And my mom is a secretary. Like, how are we going to do
And
that?"
siblings,
I have an older sister who was kind of on
older
her
sister.
own, but dealing with mental illness, early mental illness that we didn't know about, like
Oh,
just
that's
early
hard.
stuff that we were like, "Oh, we don't know what's going to happen to her." And so I had been reading this article in the Chicago Tribune my mom got. And so I saw, this is what I want to do. I want to go to this school in Chicago. And I presented it to my mom in the living room after we watched Beverly Hills 90210, the original
The OG.
OG, Shannon Doherty. And so she thought I was crazy, but it was a hoot. And we moved. We just went. And
You
that was
scooped
it.
up your sis. Your sis went along.
No, sis
She
stayed.
stayed.
It was just mom and I. We were like these weird roommates. Like, we were supposed to be mother and daughter, but it was a bit like roommates. You know, we were moving to this big city, and I just flourished there. I mean, I got A's in Shakespeare and English, and then again, still D's in history.
She liked what she liked, everybody. She liked what she
So
liked.
that was the
'Cause I'm
last
sure that's,
move before college, right?
and adults really are. I mean, your peers, obviously, even that was happening. They were saying stuff to you as being the same age as you and being the same grade as you. But as an adult, to feel like you don't know, it almost would have been, it wouldn't have been better if you were getting no good grades, but to be able to go like, but honey, you can remember your lines. Like,
Oh,
you're memorizing
thank
lines.
you.
So I know that you have memory retention
Thank
capacity,
you.
but you're not applying that. And so it just translates to like, oh, you're just not applying. And that's a willful thing
And my
rather
mom
than like
knew.
what could be going
She would
on.
write my papers for me sometimes and be like, "Honey, I don't understand." We just didn't understand, but we also didn't know. We didn't think therapy was the fix because I wasn't having emotional
You weren't,
problems.
yeah,
So it was
exactly.
like really confusing. Obviously, there was a learning disability,
Right.
but it just was too early in the history of time for us to be like, "Oh, that's what it was." And so, you know, and I just had a blast performing, so it was fine. I ended up putting my energy there, and the
And you were at
teachers
a
were
school where
great.
that was sort of, I mean, was that, it was
Chicago
kind of a
Academy for
school
the
that was
Arts,
like, yeah, we're
Aware's.
here. We're not the only person, in other words, who was like, math, no, thank you.
Oh my goodness, no. And physics and chemistry. And I was just terrified. And I'd have friends who would just like do it and get A pluses. And I was like, "How? Tell me how you do it." Like, I was just fascinated. But then I got the lead in the play, and I read all these plays. So you're right. I don't know why nobody thought maybe there's like some learning issue.
I guess that's the other thing too, is like figuring out later that you could have been more enthusiastic about something when it feels at the time like an enthusiasm thing, or the thing that belongs to other people, which I feel like is such like the siren song of my podcast, is like I've come to know myself so much better through talking to other people about their teenage years, because so much of what I built off of was whatever messaging I was giving myself or being given as an adolescent, because everything was like heart, so super charged, and was like
Us
processing
too.
differently and deeper and and more intense. Everything you feel is more intense. Your hormones, everything's dialing in, or in most of our cases, dialing way out, but still having this huge effect on us, of feeling like, oh my gosh, like I just, like when someone was great, I wrote a, did great on their math test, I was like, that's not for me. Like, I don't own that. I don't possess that. And that belongs to you. And so I'll never try again. Like, I will just avoid math. I will just avoid it at all costs. And I will never re really apply myself, because I've seen other people do well at it. Hence, I must not be good at it. So I'll never try again.
That
It's
is
just like, it's a
totally me.
self-fulfilling
I grew
prophecy.
up with the narratives that said women are rock stars. Okay, that's nice. Never trust a man. Okay, that's not great.
Helpful.
Okay, really helpful. Thanks. Never. They will always do you wrong. Do everything alone. You'll do it better. So, oh, right. These
Girl,
were like,
yeah.
we don't have enough money. There's not enough resources. Go get it for yourself. I was like, oh God, it's like Vietnam out there. I was like, I gotta get, I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna make my money and you're not gonna get, like, I had all this like aggression about men in the world. And I never took my mom's narrative at 100%, but I definitely was like, oh, those were my messages.
It's interesting what when you start realizing, like, when you start realizing how deep those things have gone, and having that recognition allows you to immediately sort of like pull it out and look at it and then maybe do something about it. But I spent so much time like parading through my teenage years, like taught, like bragging about how different I was from my mom, as many of us do, and feeling so disconnected from who she was as a person, and just feeling like I didn't understand how I was her daughter. Like, I don't understand. I'm so like my dad. I'm just like my dad. It's like my dad had me, and that's it. In a test tube. Like, I can't relate to my mom at all. And part of her rhetoric, which I totally understand, and came out of like a broken heart, and sounds perhaps like your mom had a similar experience, but my mom's was not don't trust a man. My mom's was, oh, bless her heart, like it hurts my heart, was like, only marry someone who's your best friend. Don't marry for love. Don't fall in love. Don't trust love. Do get married, but it needs to be a companion that you may or may not ever be attracted to ever. That's what you need to be looking for. And so because she had, you know, been madly in love with the two men that she married, and it didn't work out, and then she was done.
Yeah,
she
well,
was
that
like,
kind of
I give
grieving.
Up.
I mean, that's like death that she experienced. And so it's so true. Like, how does she have a child and not give that? Like, we can't even be angry or upset. It's like these parents of
They're
ours.
just trying to help. They're trying to keep us safe. They're trying to keep us safe.
Yeah, they do their best. I always tell clients, they're like, well, my mom's awful. I'm like, well, would it surprise you if this is her best? It is her best. We cannot be angry that her limitations are different. At the time, of course, I was like you. I was like a little bit like, my mom's crazy. A little. I was like, I don't think I agree with all this stuff. I like the guys in my class, and the boys I've dated were, I've never been cheated on or hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life, I have never, to my knowledge, had drama with a boyfriend. I've never had goofy, just any of that. I've just chosen well. I've picked people with good hearts who are communicative. And I think I just sort of wanted to get out and prove her wrong in certain ways.
Yeah,
and,
no, I was going to say,
gosh,
if you were
men
doing,
are different.
You made great choices in defiance of the thing that was supposed to protect you, but that you inherently were able to perceive as like, I'm not going to use this. I don't want to use this.
This is
like,
not
that's
my
a tool
story.
I choose
Exactly
not.
What you
Exactly.
said. So that's a great point. Like, which side of the street is this garbage on? Is it on Crickets?
Yeah.
No. How about don't trust anyone? No. I have some good luck trusting people. Oh, you do? Well, I didn't.
Oh.
So then I feel survivor guilt because my life's going great and yours isn't. Yep.
Yes to that. Yes to that.
And how do I manage that? Like, how do we manage that as little, these young women growing up?
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know any of this until I was 30 and I had panic attacks driving on Mulholland. And I was like, what in God's name is happening to me? And then I was like, oh my gosh, there's all this, like, you know, childhood stuff. And as good as we did in adapting to it, it was still kind of coming at me. And I realized that I was really picked up that codependency from my mom.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, like, have you talked to Michaela about this?
Mm-mm.
I mean, because you guys have done constantly.
Haven't.
You have to talk to her because she also, with her mom, moved to LA in this case.
Oh, wow.
And was, and has a very similar story about living in the same space with her mom and feeling like, you know, probably there was some independence and codependence stuff that, you know, there's stuff that should have happened. There's stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah.
There was very much a, like, it's you and me, kid.
Yep.
We're kind of sisters, but I'm also still your mom. And like, there. So it's
That's
really
so
interesting
funny, isn't
that,
it?
Yeah.
So maybe those type of parents out there, be careful. You're going to have actresses come out of that because
if you don't want actresses,
they're trying to
don't do
perform,
it.
You know, but yeah. So that was a wild part of life, you know. And just parsing that out. But that's interesting. I will definitely talk to her about that because
Oh, you have to. Yeah, you should listen to her
I
episode
will.
of my podcast, because there's some really cool parallels
It's
there.
You and Me, Kid. That's a great title because so enmeshment is what I then learned as a therapy student. I was like, oh, I thought enmeshed meant like nobody had their own identity, but you can have lots of enmeshment on a spectrum. And I realized we definitely did. And so then I had to set out, and I remember saying to my therapist, well, what if I like say no to the enmeshment? And my mom like flips out and she's like, oh, she will absolutely flip out. It's what we do next. And I was like, oh my gosh. She goes, do you want to have a good life? And I'm like, well, yeah. She goes, then you don't have an option. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I like that. That's direct. I can follow direction. And it saved me and saved our relationship. We have the best mom and I are best friends, but in a way that's
Oh, so good.
boundaried and
Yes,
like
yes.
beautiful and giving. And it hurts sometimes because I have to say no to stuff, but I
Yeah.
do.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
This week, greatest discovery becomes greatest trek.
That's because greatest trek is for way more than just discovery.
We renamed our hit show that's on Maximum Fun, covering all the new Star Trek shows, Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds, Picard, Prodigy, Discovery, and any other new Star Trek show Paramount throws at us.
Come find out why we're the most important Star Trek podcast on the internet with our funny, informative recaps of all the new Star Trek shows that Paramount keeps churning out.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation.
Circling back on these boyfriends, how much dating were you doing in high school as you were doing these various plays? And when did you get your
Oh,
bracelet
God,
off?
not at
Those two things
all. I
aren't
was
super
such
connected,
a
but.
dork. Like I was boy crazy, but I didn't have like real boyfriends. I mean, I did have a boyfriend when I was 12, and his name was Derek Menschinger, and I was madly in love, and I wrote a song about him. I was big on the Derek Menschinger. And
Did
then
you try to rhyme any words with Derek or Menschinger?
let me remember, it was that song. Yes, it was a song. I made a parody. This is so embarrassing. Oh my God. It was this song called, oh God, I'm gonna have to. Oh, we were swinging. It's a country song. Well, I met her on the porch and we were swinging. And I was like, and Mr. Menschinger picked me up. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'll have to find it some. But yes, I did try to match that.
That makes me
Meanwhile,
so
he's still
happy.
around. He's the best guy. He's a great kid.
Oh, actually,
So
we have a little surprise for you. Derek, could you come in here,
I
please?
would die.
I know,
That'd be so
I
funny.
know. How did I
He
know?
was a
Super
sweet,
creepy.
sweet boy. A sweet boy. Always from the beginning. I had great taste. I had great taste in boys and men. But no, I think 13, 14, 15, I met a boy. And he was a little older and he was like a troubled kid. And I'd never gone that road. And he drank alcohol and did acid. And I was like, oh. And so I tried acid, I was terrified. I was such a nerd. I was like, let me read all about it first. Like I was,
Oh, sure.
I was like, I'm too scared. But he was a musician and a photographer. And I
Wait,
remember.
was let me I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I really hate
Why?
to interrupt.
No.
I just have to pause on the acid thing for a
Oh,
second.
yeah. I know if we can say something like that.
Oh no, we can't.
Oh,
No, we
okay.
totally can't. I am very honest about that stuff, and I can't pretend to tell people to do or not do what they're going to do because they're going to do it. They're going to do it or they're not going to do it. But that said, I just am asking because when I was 13, I did acid before I had ever smoked a cigarette, before I had ever
Same.
smoked pot, and before I ever got. Okay, so like, how nuts is that? That we both were like, let me go ahead and try the thing that will last for 8 to 10
Oh, and I
hours.
like lost my mind.
Like without any context of like what it's like to even be the tiniest bit buzzed, to go right into that is
I did
so
the same
intense.
thing. I don't know why I did that. I
That's
think
so
I thought
funny.
cigarettes were disgusting. I'm like, now
Yes.
that is gross. I'm not gonna smell. And booze, I was like, ew, that's what old people do. They drink
Yeah.
schnapps and like,
Even with pot, I remember
yeah.
being like, well, I don't know what's in that. And somehow the fact that acid had been invented in a lab made it seem like very safe. Like, it's like Tylenol.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, it's these little tabs. So so some scientist must have had to do something to that. But I did take like a quarter because I was so terrified. I was like, and then I remember just being like, okay, this is not anything like I've, you know, done. Yeah. And I heard my mom's voice. Oh my God. You know, your brain's only 16. You know, I got panicked a little and then I was like, let's relax, like, let's chill out. But that's when, you know, 16, I lost my virginity. And
Was it to that kid, the trouble kid? Okay, so you were saying he was a musician?
Yeah, he was a gorgeous musician. He looked like Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers, like really good looking. He loved photography. He took these gorgeous pictures of me. But he was one of these guys who would give you the backhanded compliment, which I didn't know at the time.
Early negging.
Oh, I was like, to me, oh, you know, I love your Roman nose, but no one else will. So, and I remember being like,
you
really?
Son of a bitch.
I know. I was like, what a funny thing to say. It was so foreign to me. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then it would happen again, like little things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this. It was always a physical attribute, which is so stupid because that's literally something I don't care about. I'm short. I'm curvy. That's never changed. It's never going to change. I don't try to be, you know, Cindy Crawford. I just don't. So it was funny to me that he went that route, like to try to.
I wonder if it made him so insecure that you were clearly comfortable with that stuff.
Maybe.
To where he was like, maybe I need to like rein her in.
That's a good point. I've never thought about psychoanalyzing him. I should remember. And then I was like, I'm going to go audition for this school in Chicago where I ended up going. He's like, you're not going to get in. And I was like, well, I don't know. I was still
I'm so proud of you.
I'm going to dance. I'm going to audition in three parts because, you know, then I know I can get into one. And he was just like, what a waste of time. And I remember being like, I was with my mom in the car on the way to the audition. And I was like, he said that. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
She's like, that's men for you. Yes, they're all
sure
like that.
Was. She's like, let's get mint chip ice cream. That was what we did every time there was like a heartbreak.
I mean, I'm so proud of you though, because like I feel like maybe that would have worked on me. And like,
what if
you were like, you know what? I'm not going to audition.
Oh,
like, you're right. I'm not going to audition. It is a waste of
and
time.
Stay
Thank you.
In Michigan,
thank you for getting me on the right course.
And stay in my small town, not just Michigan. It's a small town. And then I heard later he had a terrible substance problem and this and that. And he's fine now. But just the fact that, oh, wow, that's where your perspective and your head was literally up your ass when you were telling me that. And thank God, just luck and and good, you know, a parent that was around to be like, that's, what do you think of that? And I'm like, I thought it was kind of jacked up. I mean, he hasn't seen my dance routine and he doesn't know what song I'm doing. And that's rude. Like,
I love it. Wait, what song were you doing? What was your dance routine?
I think I did. Oh, funny enough, now that Kate Bush is back. So I'm obsessed with Kate. I did Kate Bush. I did a modern dance sequence to Kate Bush.
Great.
That was beautiful.
Was that like Sensual World era? Was that
It wasn't Running Up That Hill. It was another one. I have to think about it. But dang it.
Yeah.
I'm never
that was the most
think.
Famous one.
No, it was creepy. It was a dark piece.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's going to make me nuts.
A dark, creepy piece. I love it.
It was like contemporary dance where I'm like throwing myself around. And then I sang some like Italian. Funny, I don't even have that kind of range, but I really thought, oh, this is like a proper fame school.
Sure.
So I have to like pretend be really good. And so I did this like stupid aria or whatever. And then I acted, did Anne Frank for my mom.
Oh, so heavy.
I was very, I took myself very seriously. Sadly. I was not a clown.
Isn't that interesting
anymore.
That's where I'm going.
I was like, oh, no. That's done. I can just be Cricket here.
Yeah.
And I can have my unibrow and listen to Melissa Etheridge and dress like a boy and like no one cares. And I just felt like I could really be free in Chicago and free with these art kids.
Yeah. It's kind of a great city.
Oh,
I mean,
it's my
did you have that? Did you fall in love with it
when
you were there? Was that part
Madly.
Of kind of what made it special, that experience of
sure.
high school?
And my mom had lived there in the 60s with my sister, and she said she'd run away from Michigan to go be this dancer. And so there was this dream for her even in this coming back to this town she loved that she wanted to stay in, but because she didn't have a husband, her family made her come back. And I was like, let's go together and like see what happens, you know?
There you go.
So I would take the train every day. It was right downtown. And she was working as a paralegal, and we'd meet up for lunch, or we'd meet up after. And then pretty soon after I got a job at the Goodman, I got very lucky and got was in a Christmas Carol there at the Goodman. So I got my equity card and was working at like 16. But the school was actually then became really aggravated with me because I would be really tired and sleepy. And they accused me of doing drugs, which is hilarious because I'm terrified of all things. Like, I'm afraid of dying. I don't want to touch. No, I smoked pot in college and never again. Like, I don't do it. I love my Chardonnay. But at 16, I was just going from rehearsal and I was a dance minor. So I was just exhausted. And so I let them know, no, I'm in this play. And your school is supposed to be the kind of school that allows for that kind of flexibility.
Right.
And so I was hitting some walls there. My mom came in and talked to him and was like, look, we're not going to pay for this very expensive school. And I had some scholarship, but she was like, this is the point. Like, this is what we're doing. And so, they kind of just backed off and let me do what I needed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that story was going to end.
I was worried.
I was afraid it was going to be like, so I had to drop out and.
Oh, God, no. But my mom was like, if I die, you're going to college. Like, it's the only thing she, you know, really, really wanted from me. So.
Ugh. I want to just touch on and then direct everyone to the Braving the Elements episode to dig a little bit more into this particular thing. But we even used it as our clip when the episode came out, is this idea of you having this really iconic role in voiceover, but feeling like your biggest obstacle to getting that was the thing that got you the part, which is the way your voice sounded.
Yeah.
Can you just like touch on that
and
direct people to the,
So growing up, people would call my house and they'd be like, oh, is your mom there? Whatever. Oh no. Who's this? Oh, it's Cricket. And they're like, oh, I thought, is this a boy? Like, it happens so often. I was like, oh God. So everyone thought I was a boy and that was fine. And then when I was training, right? So 15, 16, I was doing plays and musicals. People were like, you know, you sound like, are you sick? You sound really bad. Maybe you shouldn't talk. And I was like, okay. So then I went for like a year whispering, which I didn't know was the worst thing you could do to your.
It's so bad.
I didn't know.
It's so counterintuitive, though. Who would ever think that whispering would be worse for you if you're trying to like not strain your voice?
I remember I told you there was that other year where I talked in a high squeak. So my mom was like, I'm done. We're getting you a voice teacher. And I did around like 12. I got a voice teacher. And she was like, my love, stop whispering. And I was like, it's okay. And she was like, no, stop. So I stopped and I worked with her and she taught me how to project, how to sing, you know, right. So I wasn't hurting myself. But I always thought, oh my God, you know, especially at college, like, if I don't get a neutral sounding voice, I'm never going to work. I'm never going to get a part. Who would hire someone that sounds all like scratchy and gravelly? And it sounds, I hated it. I don't want other people to have to, you know, sit. And then I remember I got to LA and I was doing some voiceover stuff and they said, can you come in for this part? You have to, you know, really goth. And I was like, oh, I'm not the right person. That's not me at all. I'm like chipper, you know? Well, I mean, I'm an actor. So I did it. And I was like, I can't believe they want this sound as a, they're looking, they want someone to sound this like dark and whatevs. I was like, I kind of think that's cool because as a teen, I mean, that's how you feel anyway. And I think I spent my whole life trying to be girly or be whatever, right? Sound like a woman, be a woman. And I just realized I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah. It's great. It's such a great It's just a lovely, like, you know, capsule of a story that really, I think, really serves to help people who have that feeling of like, this thing I have that I think is in my way.
Oh, I was so embarrassed.
Don't think about, try to look at that, put a different lens on that. You may be shocked to learn that that thing is going to propel you forward, or that that thing in a certain moment is going to be everything.
Absolutely. You know? And my name too. I mean, even, you know, at college at NYU, they were like, your name is awful. It's not going to work. Your voice is awful. You can't do Shakespeare in the Park with that voice. It was very like, you just don't have an option. And I remember just being like, I don't, there's nothing I can do to really change my voice. And a name is just a name. I just didn't take it as seriously as I thought they would. And then, you know, when I got out and was just auditioning, this casting director is, it's a whole reason why I'm in voiceovers. David Caporeliotis from Manhattan Theater Club. He stopped my monologue. He was like, hey, do you do voiceovers? And I was like, what? I'm like trying to do my acting here. And he's, you know, interrupting me. And I'm like, no, is that like jingles? He's like, no, it's not jingles. And I'm like, oh, that sounded fun. Like, you know, Kraft mac and cheese. And he was like, no, 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 it's voiceovers, whatever. I go, no, I don't know how to do that. He goes, you should look into it. And then I left. And a year later, same guy, different play. He goes, hey, I asked you last year. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to like do that. And he's like, okay, I can tell you where to go or what to do. Yeah. And he did. And I just thought, this is the most bonker thing ever. I sound like a weirdo.
Yeah.
And they want you to sound like a weirdo. Like to me, I just sound like a weirdo, whatever that is. Uh-huh. So it is kind of cool. Very cool that, that was seen as a pro, and not that I need surgery and I didn't need to sound like whomever, right? And then when I sing, it gets clearer. So that always throws people.
Yeah.
But
it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I was on a show shooting 20 and 2021 with a bunch of kids, and it was a musical show. So all the kids sang.
Oh, how great.
And I had one of the little girl who's sort of, I mean, they all had like wonderful moments to shine. There are five kids, but she's the middle kid, and she's the one who is, it's the kid's parent, mom has died. Mm. She was sick and she died. And she's the one who, everybody has their way of sort of coping. Yeah. And she's the one who really is very broken and very angry about it. Mm. And she has this raspy, adult sounding voice. And when she sings, it's just like it's in that case, it stays super raspy. But like same thing. I mean, she was only 7 when we met. And, you know, she was sort of doing things in defiance of that voice because other kids made fun of her. Other kids were like, your voice is so, like, you sound like a mom. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you sound like a boy because she has this like real husky voice.
Or they say, you know, I sound like a violin. An agent told me that. She's like, we can't represent you. You seem really great. I was like, oh my God, I sound like a broke. I should just stop everything. You know? And that was, of course, before May and before Avatar. So it's like, yes, you're going to have people tell you a lot of things. And some of them you might agree with, which I did agree. Oh my gosh, I do sound like a scratchy violin. But what if someone out there wants a goddamn scratchy violin? Yeah. I'm the freaking person. And that's
right.
What you have to kind of keep remembering.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that also, like, your voice doesn't even, but now people are like, you don't sound like May.
Well, when I
you know,
meet
you
them,
have to do go
I
into the voice.
Do it. I have to be like, hey, I'm Cricket. Great to meet you. Okay, which quote do we want today? Do we want, please tell me you're here to kill me. Or, you know, oh, I love Zuko more than I fear you. But I have to go in it because they are definitely like, what? You know? And I love Comic-Cons. I love getting to see everybody. And
isn't it great? Oh, I was so, I remember when you were getting ready to go to one. I was like, remember? And
I was
like,
it.
I was like, you are going to get so much food for your heart. Like, you're going to have so many meaningful conversations.
Was.
People are going to be so happy that you're there in person so they can tell you how much your character meant to them. It is like, it's so exhausting. I've never done anything in my life, and performing
so
is hard, but it is the most exhausting yet exciting, fulfilling, like deeply emotionally satisfying experience. Right? I just knew that people were going to be like, you, I love
it
you.
It was wonderful.
You see people, you are present. Like, you're not just like, hey, how you doing?
No.
You know, which does exist in places like that. Like, I just knew you would be
the belle
of the ball.
I loved all these kids. I was like, you guys look amazing. You know, and some we went to the Children's Hospital, which was amazing.
Oh,
Jenny
I love
Kwan and I,
that.
and you know, some of them don't know Avatar. It didn't matter. We were like, "You look so great!" You know,
Yeah.
cheers to healing, and you know, it just was us
I
bringing
love it.
joy. It didn't
Yeah.
matter what TV show or what whatever thing we do. We're just bringing joy.
Yeah.
So I agree. It was
Yeah.
awesome.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hey there, it's Annabelle Gurwitch.
And I'm Laura House. We host Tiny Victories, the 15-minute podcast that's about the little things.
Getting into the tiny victory frame of mind is about recognizing minor accomplishments and fleeting joys.
Isn't it a wonderful day when the first password you try actually works?
When it's freezing cold outside and toasty as all get out in my shower, my tiny victory is that I turn off the water and get on with my day.
We can't change this big dumb world, but we can celebrate the tiny wins.
So join us on Maximum Fun or wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get tiny!
Before I let you go, I have to play this MASH game. I play it at the end of every episode. All you have to do is just be willing to answer off the cuff.
Okay.
It's all going to be stuff you like. The only the hardest part is like an hour later being like, oh, why did I say soup? I really wish I would have said lettuce
or
whatever.
Oh, I am going to be that person.
But this is the moment. This is that we're living in the present moment. In the present moment, these are the answers that feel right to you.
Okay.
So I'm going to create this MASH alternate universe life for you where Cricket is doing all of these other things that she loves. So it's happening. And I'm going to start with the category of three places in the world that you would love to have another home if we could just sort of teleport you there and you could just be in that place.
So I get to pick three?
Yeah. And the way MASH works is at the end, you'll end up with one thing from each category, and I'll be like, and this is your life, and I'll sort of pull it out for you.
This is the best game ever.
It's a lot of like thinking about things you like, and that's fun.
That's fun. Okay, so Positano, Italy would be one. Never been there, but I think I need a house. Aspen,
Great.
Colorado.
Great.
And South Haven, Michigan.
Great. All right, next one is three. We're going to put you in a musical. It's not going to be exhausting to perform unless you want it to be. You don't have to do a short run. You don't have to do a long run. You could do a one-off. You could do it for however long you want. And like age, gender, that stuff goes out the window. So if there's whatever three parts that you would love to play in three musicals that that you're like, oh, I could do Ophelia, or I could do, you know, or you could be Hamlet or whatever. That's
so it's not just musical. It can be straight play also.
Yeah, it could be play.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say musical.
Okay,
it can
good.
Be, yeah, any character.
I mean, I have 20 already to tell you. So
Great.
It's like so easy. So my top one is Maggie the Cat from Cat on Hot Tin Roof. Dying,
yes, indeed.
Dying to play that part. Second,
Great.
This is so definite. I want to play Eliza Doolittle in
Yes!
Pygmalion or My Fair Lady, but Pygmalion.
Lovely.
Oh, I'm obsessed with Cockney accents. So that would be my second one. And then third would be, I really want to play Mercutio in Romeo and Juliet.
Yes. What a great role.
That'd be fun.
Oh.
Stage combat and all that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great
Swords.
Part. Yeah, I love that you try. And funny.
And fun.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And tragic and funny. Okay. Next category, let's do three movies that you can jump into and just be in that world whenever you want. You're not reliving the plot. You're safe. So if there's like some action happening, you're not going to get like hurt. But you get to interact with those characters
oh,
and be in
wow,
that place.
That's so good. Movies are harder. There's so many. But I think I really love S.E. Hinton's writing, and I think The Outsiders would be a movie that I would
sure.
love to be because I always felt I was like anybody's from West Side Story. So
yeah.
I want to be like the
yeah.
kid side, the girl sidekick.
Yes.
So The Outsiders would be a movie I would love. What is that? Oh, Harry Met Sally. I would love
yes.
to be in a Harry Met Sally movie.
Oh, great.
And then maybe one of those like sweeping epics like – with what's the Brad Pitt and the horses and the oh god, it's like Yellowstone, but
Remains of the Day. Nope, that's
no,
100% not.
But I know,
no, Legends of Fall,
yes,
Legends of the Fall,
yes, Legends of the Fall would be great.
I said that like we were having game night and you and I just were gonna score points, like in
I would love to do game night.
Legends of the Fall, Legends of the Fall,
baby fish
like
mouth,
charades.
Baby fish mouth,
baby fish mouth, baby fish mouth. baby fish mouth. She says baby fish mouth. Yeah. So good.
She's Annie of Annie's Cakes. Yeah.
Oh, so good. I love it. So I love it. Baby fish mouth. Yeah. Oh, because baby fish mouth is sweeping the nation. Right. That's what it is. Okay. Speaking of Annie's Cakes, three foods that in this reality, maybe you can't indulge in because you're allergic or it feels bad for the environment, or you'd love to be able to eat an entire sheet cake like you could when you were a kid without feeling sick. Everything is on the table for this. You can have it in perpetuity. You don't have to just eat it, but you can have as much as you want whenever you want and nothing bad happens to anybody.
Yes. Medium rare ribeye.
Great.
Truffle fries.
Ooh, truffle fries.
And creme brulee.
Great, great.
I could just eat them all in order every day.
love it. Okay, this is a MASH game from its origin point with, I'm sure, young kids everywhere. There is a romance aspect to this. So alternate universe, it could be characters from movies. It could be a character from a book, a cartoon, a person, you know, famous person who is now dead, but you can bring them back to whatever age they were when you had a crush on them. whatever you want. This is sky's the limit. Three romantic or sexy times partners that we're going to hand you for this alternate universe.
Okay, I really like Wolverine.
Great.
So me and him would get along great, I feel like.
Great.
He would just be like doing shots and hanging out and eating great food, and he'd bring out his knives and it'd be fun. I feel like Mel Brooks, I would have been in love with. And and I feel like if he were my age, I could be his Madeline Kahn. And maybe before Madeline Kahn, we could have been in love.
You definitely have a Madeline Kahn.
I do.
I say that as I worship her. Yeah,
I do
absolutely.
Too. I love her.
Absolutely.
And then, I mean, I want to throw in Zuko because I'm Mako all the way, no
love
matter what.
It.
I don't care what anybody
love
ships.
It.
I ship Mako.
Love it. Great. Let's do powers. It could be bending powers. It could be other superpowers. Three powers that you would like to have.
Oh, I would love to know what people are thinking, of course, although that would be a bit of a bummer too, but it would be really neat to know that.
You can use it when you want to.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that was forced on you all the time, like Professor X. It's like, if you want to tune in, you can, otherwise you're fine.
Okay, I like that. I would, superpowers. I know this one should be so easy. I think I would love to just have the superpower to like press a button and be dressed fabulously every day.
Oh yeah.
Like if I could just go like boop and like have a Prada outfit or just some cute like denim overalls. So I don't have to think.
I love it. I just called it Instafab.
Oh yes. That's a power I want. I think invisibility would be pretty neat.
Oh yeah. Great. Okay. Let's do three. There's just two more. So this next category is let's do alternate universe careers that you can try on. Three.
Okay. For sure, try a lawyer. I would love to.
Love.
Right? God, let's do it. We could do a show.
It sounds
based
so
on
stressful.
Us trying
if you could
to
take,
do it.
Yeah. If you could give me the lack of stress level of a psychopath, I'd be so happy. I'd be like, oh, it would just roll off my back. I mean, yes, I'd be sure to quick to anger, but like if I just like my cortisol just stayed at a very low level.
Oh, we can
that would
do
be
that.
Amazing.
We can do that with EMDR, but we can talk about that later.
Great.
So
I'm in.
Okay, so trial lawyer would be really fun. Although everyone I know that's lawyer is like, that's stupid, you'd hate it. And I'm like, no, I think I'd love it.
No, I'd love it.
What else? I think I would love to be a chef. I love cooking, but I mess up meat a lot. And my husband's so nice. He's like, it's a little over. I'm like, but I have a meat thermometer. What is happening? Okay. So yeah, the cooking I love. Because I love Gordon Ramsay. He would be one of my romances too.
Oh, sure.
Last career choice, I think. Should be easier than this, huh? But
not necessarily.
Maybe I would own a restaurateur.
Great. Yeah. Great. And then you would purposefully screw it up so Gordon Ramsay would have to come.
He's like, this looks like Gandhi's flip flop. And I'd be like, I know, help me.
I know,
help
but aren't you so pretty and cute? Amazing. Okay, for the Avatar lovers out there, I know we've got Zuko captured, but how about three characters from Avatar that you get to like hang out with for a day or two?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, Azula, I would need to hang out with because I just love her. I love her character. I love the arc. I mean, she's amazing. Yes, and Gray's amazing. Yeah. So I would love Azula.
Love it.
I would really love seeing or May and her mom, I think.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But like having a different vibe than what we got to see.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I would love to hang out with... what's that surfer guy? Those surfer guys, Ron and John, or one of those, Ron and John. I think it would be fun, like from the beach, the beach episode.
Yeah,
and Azula has a crush on one, and she thinks,
"Oh yeah,
together." Like that's the guy. I think we could have fun, and we could like play guitar on the rocks. And, like,
oh my god, I love
I don't
it.
Know.
Yes, like, absolutely.
I mean, there's so many great characters, but I
those. I think. Paying tribute to the beach is never a bad idea because it's such an amazing episode and you want to just see that entire series. Okay. Give me a number between 1 and 7.
7.
Okay, great. And while I do this, will you please tell people, like, can they listen to your band even if they can't see you in person?
Yes.
And where else can they find you? And anything like that that you would love for people to check out?
Yes,
and,
of course. Great point. And, you know, this is my weakest point because I'm so bad at just promo. It's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. But, yes, so you can find me. My band is called Cricket Creek. And we're on Facebook, so the Cricket Creek Band. And you'll see it there. And I'm the lead singer. We do blues, classic rock. And I'm going to start to go in a more of an Americana songwriter type Brandi Carlile direction.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And then you can find me on Instagram under Cricket World, but it's WIRLD. I'm on TikTok. I think it's just at Cricket Lee. And what else? If you need a therapist, you can always find me or other great therapists at Blend Health. So that's BLNDHEALTH.com.
I love that. I love that that's even an option for people is to find you.
People are like,
I mean, after
blonde?
Listening to this episode, I feel like a ton of people are like, I need that.
I mean,
like, I need that person's perspective in a professional capacity.
And it really just is perspective. A lot of people will come and be like, well, I thought I would need to see you for 6 months, but we only met 4 times. I'm like, I know. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
It shouldn't be a year's worth of your money and a year's worth, you know.
I love
but
that.
But it is kind of buying perspective.
Giving people those tools is great. Okay, wonderful. Well, that is all great. Please, people, take action because you know you're in love with Cricket. Okay, so I have your 100% guaranteed alternate universe mash life here. It's very replete with a lot of joyful things. So, I mean, this is like, this is very exciting. This is very, very exciting. All right. I don't even know where to start. Okay, I'm going to start with the fact that you have a beautiful apartment in Positano, Italy. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The idea of you know, retreating to that whenever you want to, maybe because you want a little bit of a break, because it turns out some people write in that being a trial lawyer is exhausting in a very satisfying way, but you want to just probably unplug from that altogether and go to Positano, especially because you're going to need to work up your energy for the commitment you've made to play Mercutio
in
Romeo
my
and Juliet, which is also going to be absolutely fantastic. When you're finished with that, I don't know, you probably go back to your apartment in Italy, but you may want to spend a little time inside When Harry Met Sally just to kind of be in the New York of that
Love
movie
it.
And be with those characters and have it be so fun and funny. Which kind of makes sense and will be something you'll want to talk about with your dynamic and hilarious partner, Mel Brooks.
Oh, yay!
So all of this is happening. You are eating nonstop if you want them or every once in a while if you want them, but zero ramifications. Mm. Truffle fries, truffle fries, truffle fries.
Amen.
Delicious truffle fries. And you also give yourself this opportunity to kind of experience the May/mom dynamic out of the Avatarverse, which is also wonderful. And through all of this, I mean, it might be a little bit strange to do Mercutio as an invisible person, but know that through all of this, whatever you want, you go ahead and turn yourself fully invisible.
Oh, my gosh.
And just see what life is like from no one can see that you're there. What are you going to, what kind of trouble are you going to get into?
I mean, I just,
I can't wait
like
to find out.
I got a massage. That's how amazing I feel. Because that was titillating, tantalizing, tantamount to nothing. You, Janet Varney, are brilliant.
Oh, that is a great life. I'm very excited.
I will take
for you.
It.
I'm very excited.
Mrs. Brooks.
Mrs. Brooks, thank you so much for taking time from all the things you have going on in this life and the next, the other. And this has been such a joy. And
for me
I adore
too.
You. And I hope we get to see each other in.
We will.
Person.
I'll be in LA for my 50th.
Oh, heck yeah. Come on out.
Mm-hmm. So I'll let you know.
I'm in.
We're
going okay,
to have, you know, some cocktails with me and Mr. Brooks and whoever else is around.
Oh, yes. I'm there.
I adore you. I think what you're doing is so fun and so awesome and just bringing joy. And looking back at our weird years is so important. Because
I never get tired of it.
Because I was a mess, but like that's what's so cool, right? Is that
yeah,
you're
exactly.
always, if you stay a mess, then you're always, you know, kind of looking
exactly.
for it. So thank you,
exactly.
Janet.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank
I'll talk
you.
To you next week. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers? Bring the villains to their knees. Maybe we should move someplace new.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.